Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Shannon Johnson Kirshner. The sermon is based on scripture from Psalm 145, verses 8 through 21, and John chapter 18, verses 28 through 40. It is the fourth of the series Jesus' Journey Through John and is titled, What is Truth? Central Sunday Morning Service for the 15th of March, 2026, Fourth Sunday in Lent, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Services under Worship.
So well done, you're going to be on the regular rotation. We are continuing our Lenten series, which is following Jesus through John's Gospel. And today we're reading from chapter 18, verses 28 through 40. So I again invite you to listen for God's living word. Then his religious opponents took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The opponents replied, "We're not permitted to put anyone to death." Parentheses. This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. End. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and its religious leaders have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the opponents. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jewish opponents again and told them, "I find no case against him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" And the opponent shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a rebel. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. "What is truth?" Pilate asked Jesus. Sometimes I wonder if God's Spirit purposefully takes amusement at blatantly demonstrating just how close the biblical world and our world can be in God's space and time. For I chose to preach on this passage last August, long before we started a war, yet we don't call it a war, long before we were constantly being told that everything is going great, yet that doesn't fit with what most of us experience. Indeed, Pilate's question feels as relevant to what's going on in our world as it did to Jesus and his opponents around the year 33 CE. What is truth? I wish we knew how he asked the question, the emotional subtext. Some commentators like to portray Pilate as a more innocent figure in the drama of Jesus' trial and crucifixion. They blame everything on Jesus' religious opponents, so they interpret Pilate's movement of going from the inside room where Jesus stood at trial to the outside courtyard where the religious opponents waited, back to the inside for more questions, back to the outside for more debate. These commentators use this physical movement as a symbol of Pilate's internal struggle over what to do with this innocent one called Jesus of Nazareth. Those same commentators then assume that Pilate asked the "what is truth" question with an honest sense of philosophical curiosity. They wonder if what Pilate really wanted was for Jesus to help him know the truth in the fullest sense, as if Pilate were someone who, like the Samaritan woman, could be converted into full trust in Jesus as Messiah. Other biblical scholars, though, take a very different approach to Pilate and his question, one much more suspicious. And honestly, that speaks to me. After all, it's well documented, Pilate was not a kind human being, nor was he an intellectually or spiritually curious leader. Ancient Jewish historians Philo and Josephus wrote that Pilate was a cruel, unscrupulous man who disdained Jesus and the Jewish people, who was politically ambitious, and who might have even reviled the outpost to which he had been assigned. So with that disdain and revulsion in mind, these scholars suggest Pilate asked his question with more irritation than curiosity, more contempt than openness. "What is truth?" he asked. Perhaps with a tone that suggested truth was really nothing more than what people in power said it was. Those who made the rules, those who established the policies, those who had the money and the seats around the cabinet table, they were the ones who defined what the truth was. And typically what they labeled truth was the version of the story that best suited their interest, the version that solidified their power, the version that built up their control and made sure they benefited the most, regardless of anyone else. Again, the spirit seems to be collapsing time these days. "What is truth?" Pilate asked, answering his own question as he spoke it. For Pilate knew his version of the truth. His truth was that he was lord of that part of the Roman Empire. His truth was that Caesar alone was the one to worship and serve unless he'd rather die. His truth was that the Jewish people were frankly expendable and only good for the taxes they paid, along with the extra money that Pilate and others extorted from them. His truth was that slavery worked as a primary economic system of the day. His truth was that the household codes that dictated women and children were property worked well for the social order because everyone knew her place. His truth was that one must jealously guard one's honor and power at every turn and trust absolutely no one. "What is truth?" Pilate sneered. "Please." Pilate might have even rolled his eyes. For his truth was that he might have preferred to release Jesus instead of Barabbas, because Barabbas was an actual zealot, a real and honest threat to Pilate's power and control. But Jesus? Well, the truth about Jesus, according to Pilate, was that Jesus refused to answer his questions with appropriate fear and trembling. And yet at the same time, Jesus also refused to lift a sword against a sword. And that refusal to fight violence with violence also led Pilate to conclude another truth about Jesus. Pilate saw Jesus as a pitifully powerless man who willingly gave in to his own arrest after being betrayed by one of his own. How weak. When it got right down to it, regardless of what Jesus' opponents said about this Jesus, the truth, according to Pilate, was that Jesus looked nothing like, sounded nothing like, act nothing like an actual king, so much so that when Pilate asked the question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" he felt ridiculous. What a sham. Jesus says, "King, sovereign." "What is truth?" Pilate mocked. "It is whatever I say it is." "So your truth now, Jesus of Nazareth, is that you are a dead man walking, because your opponents want you dead for stirring things up and challenging all their systems and authority. They, and now I, want you dead for putting them on Rome's radar again with all your talk of the kingdom coming near, for directly challenging my empire, the reign of Caesar and Rome, thereby placing people, your own people, at additional risk. What's truth? That's the truth, Jesus. The truth as Pilate saw it and lived it." But we sense the problem, don't we? We know what Pilate was missing, what Jesus' opponents were missing, what even perhaps we are still missing. What is truth might not be the most appropriate or useful question for us to ask, at least not for those of us who follow Jesus. For what is truth was not what Jesus was even about. Jesus was not about truth as some kind of philosophical category, or truth as an enlightenment objective reality that one can prove or disprove. Jesus was also not about truth as our postmodern subjective theory where truths with a plural S rule the day. So while what is truth is an important question for those on investigative commissions to ask, it's not the only question those of us who try to be disciples need to be asking. not when it comes to how we live our lives. Rather, perhaps the question for us to ask is, who is truth? Imagine what might have happened if Pilate had actually asked that out loud. Who is truth? His own transformation might have had a chance then. Because for those of us who follow God in the way of Jesus, we believe the who was standing right there in front of him. The who is truth was, is Jesus. So just what kind of truth is he? He is the truth that proclaims that since we trust Jesus is the full disclosure of God, the human face of God, then we know the truth that God is nothing less than love. He is the truth that in him God took, absorbed into God's own self all the ugliness and beauty of human life. So as Trace said, nothing we experience is outside the touch of the holy. He is the truth that in the one we call Jesus, all things hold together, even us. Who is truth? Pilate could have asked. And then they might have had a real honest conversation. But even though Pilate didn't ask, demonstrated by the fact that immediately after this interchange, Pilate had Jesus beaten and sent him on to his death, we can ask it. For when we trust that Jesus is truth, the fullest disclosure of who we believe God to be, as well as how we trust God hopes we will live and love, then we have the who against which we can measure all other truth claims. And when we trust that Jesus is the who of truth, then the entirety of our lives is affected. For example, it means we cannot measure the truth about the effect of governmental budgets without remembering what our truth Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount when he claimed that where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. In other words, our budgets are moral documents, and they tell us what and who we actually value. When we trust Jesus is the who of truth, then we cannot measure the truth about what's going on in the Middle East without remembering that the one who is our truth proclaimed, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God," therefore shaking us out of any passivity for what's being done in our name as a nation and as a faith tradition. When we trust that Jesus is the who of truth, we cannot measure the truth about how we are to see each other and treat each other, even strangers, without paying attention to the one who is our truth, the one about whom Paul writes, "In Christ there is no Jew or Greek, no slave or free, no male and female, for all are one in Christ Jesus our Lord." When we trust that Jesus is the who of truth, then we cannot measure the truth about how we're to engage our Georgia state officials about the new citizenship checks on families who apply for SNAP benefits without measuring it against the one who is our truth, who said, "Let the children come to me." The one who is our truth, who commanded us to make sure we are loving and providing for the widow and the orphan, biblical shorthand for the most vulnerable amongst us. Those are just a few examples of how remembering the way of the one who is our truth ought to challenge us, to shape us as to how we live our lives, as we make decisions, as we spend our money, as we cast our votes, as we choose to use our energy and time as well as our voice. What is truth was an interesting question for Pilate to ask. It's an important question for Congress to ask. But the question for faith for us to ask is, who is truth? Flannery O'Connor had the often quoted line, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you odd." Indeed. For when we measure the world's truth against the one who is our truth, and let that truth shape us accordingly, we end up being nothing less than odd. For the truth of our world is really not all that different than the manufactured truth of Pilate's world. God's spirit collapses time. It's a truth that says might makes right. It's a truth that says look out for number one, get to the top no matter who you hurt in the process. It's a truth that denies that we are connected to each other. A truth that ignores that our well-being is wrapped up in the well-being of each other. It's a truth that pretends we're all born onto a level playing field, so pull your own self up. It's a truth that makes peace with violence and hopelessness exploding in that other city, in that other country, as long as it's not in my city or in my country. It's a truth that separates and destroys, a truth that will drive a pickup truck into a synagogue or enter a college classroom with intent to harm. And the truth of our world, of Pilate's world, is also what took the one who is our truth and had him beaten for embodying the world as it should be, then put him on a cross and left him to die, because the truth of God's love and justice was far too threatening for them to ignore. Frankly, seeing how the one who is our truth was treated might just tempt us to take the easier way of living in the land of our news silos and becoming comfortable with the notion that truth is dead. That's what they say. Yet, that's not who we are. As people who follow God in the way of Jesus, we are not a people who just give up or decide to play the game of the world's truth. We are not a people who sneer along with Pilate and decide that truth can be auctioned off to the highest bidder. No. Rather, we choose to hold even more tightly onto the who of our truth, the one who calls us to be awed and gracious and hard workers for justice and for hope, especially when those things feel so far off. For we are called to follow the one who is our truth, who is God's truth, and constantly let that truth shape us and reshape our lives every single day, even when it's hard or we're running really low on courage. What is truth? Pilate asked. If only he had known. But we do. And while we may still be in the season of Lent, the one who is our truth is not dead, but alive and on the loose, calling us to follow, calling us to be awed for the sake of God's beloved world. And God knows how desperately we need the who of our truth today. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA, located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work, and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.